Hello, it's Dan Lebatard. Welcome again to South Beach Sessions. We've been fascinated around here for a long time. Wanted him to be the University of Miami coach with Mike Leach because he's an eccentric and he's himself. He's authentic. He's unusual. Michael Lewis wrote a great story on him. Was so fascinated by this guy who gets these low star recruits and turns them into college football heroes, throwing the ball all over the place. Gardner Minshew, the latest sensation, comes from Mike Leach, the first quarterback to make it to the NFL. And we've just enjoyed his general yammering. Like, for example, and this is just the most recent one, but we've been doing this for years with him, where the reporters simply ask him to take all the teams in the conference and their mascots and tell us how the mascots would do if it was a Royal Rumble.
Well, first of all, what kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable. Another bear up there at Cal. The tree, I imagine that tree's going to get chopped down. Unless we're going to go with the bird and somebody might get pecked or something. I don't know. And then the duck might lose interest and just fly away and get out of there, which may be good advice under the circumstances. The Husky, no chance. The beaver, well, we'll see how long that beaver can hold his breath. The ute, again, we're back to, is he on horseback? Does he have a bow and arrow? Did he trade for a rifle? I mean, because if that ute's got a rifle, there's some definite problems. And, you know, you'd have to get one of those Harry Potter activists to read up on how you kill a Sun Devil, because there's a lot of outside stuff there. Just as far as a beast alone, a buffalo's going to be pretty hard to tangle with. I mean, a buffalo's utterly outstanding. Did I leave any of them out? Butch is going to have to be clear-minded and crafty. I mean, Butch will find a way. There's no question. The Cougar will find a way. Clear-minded and crafty, a combination of stay out of harm's way and attack when you get your chances or your openings.
So that's what we're hoping for here. A little bit more of meandering, yammering Mike Leach, asking him some unusual questions, because he'll answer just about anything. And we're going to head down that path in a second. But first, Mike Ryan's here to tell you a little bit about who's sponsoring South Beach Sessions this week.
Thank you, Dan. God, I can't wait for this interview. My only hope was that it occurred 2 weeks ago. Here's a word from our sponsor. It's ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a slow process. Cafe Altura's COO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you, it finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job, so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that's how Dylan found its new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for all businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/beach. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BEACH, ZipRecruiter.com/beach. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire.
So here he is at 3-2 instead of 3-0, because we should have done this interview 2 weeks ago. Mike Leach, the Washington State football coach. We are such big fans of this guy. He is the chupacabra of the college football world, difficult to ensnare, different from all of his colleagues. I've been in love with him for many years. I don't mean to make this awkward, Mike Leach. I wanted you to be the University of Miami coach. Michael Lewis went into your life and wrote about what a genius you were back before he was even Big Bad Michael Lewis. So thank you for making the time. I hope I didn't fawn over you too much.
Hey, I appreciate being on. I'm glad you're thinking about me.
I do so much. It's uncomfortable how much I think about you. We play so much sound on our radio show from you talking about, you know, mascots in Royal Rumbles, aliens and Bigfoots, weddings. You've got opinions on everything. I love that reporters keep asking you questions and bringing to light new and fun eccentricities.
Yeah, they throw that at me pretty much every week or every other interview. And, you know, heck, I figure I better tell it like I see it. Otherwise, there'll be too much to keep track of, and I'll get tangled up if I don't say what I think.
What kind of kid were you, Mike?
I had a big imagination. I was always making something or doing something, whether it be like build some fort. Little Rascals would be a pretty good example. Me and my friends, we'd build forts. And, of course, we were in Wyoming and Colorado, so you had some space to do this sort of thing. We'd go camping or pretend we were camping. When we were too young to actually camp, we'd pretend we were camping. We'd play Cowboys and Indians or Daniel Boone, that type of thing. We would, not really G.I. Joes, but whether, some kind of little figurines or something. We would get boxes and kind of like cut doors and windows and like make houses. Like it'd be pretty elaborate too. I mean, we'd make houses and castles for whatever characters we were messing around with. I have fond memories of childhood and kid and stuff like that.
Did you get in much trouble or have a lot of friends?
Yeah, a little of both, a little of both. And, it was that time when there wasn't phones and machines so much. Kids and dogs went everywhere, you know what I mean?
I've heard you give sermons about technology today and machines and computers. This was not in any way a part of your growing up.
No, they didn't have it then. In the house, you'd have one phone, and the parents didn't hesitate to take it away if they didn't like the way things were going, I mean, if you did something real seriously wrong, my dad would just go through the itemized list of all his things that I wasn't going to use anymore. You're not going to use my phone. You're not going to watch my TV. However, you can stay in my room that I provide for you. Then he'd give you a list of chores and stuff you're going to do in lieu of all that. However, you are going to paint my shed, rototill my garden, No, it was outstanding. I mean, if he didn't like your behavior, he'd make it inconvenient enough that you'd adjust things,
Did you let Gardner Minshew be himself in terms of flamboyance, Uncle Rico at Washington State, because you yourself have spent your entire professional life being yourself?
Yeah, I definitely let him be himself. The Uncle Rico is a good comparison. He'd almost be like if Burt Reynolds and Uncle Rico had a kid. That would be Gardner, because he does have a little Smokey and the Bandit in him, But yeah, I definitely did. I thought our whole team kind of drew from his personality and just his passion and excitement to be out there.
How much of an outsider are you in the football world, Mike? Because you don't think like the other coaches think. Do they think you're a weirdo?
I don't know. I get along with everybody. I don't think about it very often. Just kind of plug away and do my thing. But I have a lot of really good friends in the coaching world. And, like, you go to the meetings and, you get to talking about things. And we all face the same problems and stuff. So in doing that, I mean, you get caught up in conversations with all kinds of people. And they're pretty interesting,
Who's your best college friend who coaches? Like, among the head coaches, who is the one that you're closest to?
It kind of depends who's there. Nick Rolovich there at Hawaii, spend time with Urban when he was in it, which he bounces in and out of it lately.
Wait a minute, Mike, that one surprises me. You and Urban do not.
Yeah, that's kind of like the preacher's son, isn't it? And then Kyle Whittingham and I have known. We both went to college at the same time, and even though we didn't know each other in college, us and our wives know the same people, the same settings, and same things,
Urban Meyer, though, you and he being friends, do you talk about anything outside of football? Because I think of Urban as sort of a mercenary robot, and you're the opposite of that.
Yeah, you can loosen him up, It is kind of a fun contrast, though.
Are you someone who has still the pirate paraphernalia all over your office? You're still doing that? Do you have an actual pirate? Last time we talked to you, there was not an actual pirate, but a sort of a statue of a pirate, a mannequin. What's in the office?
I have a lot of pirate gear in my office. People send me stuff, and so then I hang it on the wall or set it on the shelf. So the pirate thing, Michael Lewis did an article on me and our team and New York Times Magazine, and it turned out to be on the cover of New York Times Magazine. which goes worldwide. When he interviewed my players, they talked about a speech that I'd given the team. And in that speech, I had a sword, you know, to kind of illustrate the point. I had an actual metal sword that I'm swinging around. And how are we going to swing our sword? I mean, are you going to be timid? Are you going to be overly aggressive and out of control? Or are you going to have good technique, you know? And in football, your body's your sword. You sharpen it in the weight room. You sharpen it out there doing drills on the field and practice. And so when he wrote about that, then pirate stuff started coming in from everywhere. And that pirate mannequin in my office, Bobby Knight and Pat Knight, Bobby Knight was our basketball coach at Texas Tech. And Bobby Knight and Pat Knight gave me that that pirate that stands in my office. And it talks, and kids like it, and recruits like it. But, yeah, so it looks like something off of Pirates of the Caribbean. So I do have some pirate stuff in my office. That's one thing about being attached to pirates. You get some really good gear. You get, like, really cool flags, really cool T-shirts. You get pirate mannequins that talk. So it's a good deal.
Has Mike Leach ever seen a ghost?
You know, I'll tell you, I don't know if I have or not. And for years and years and years, because, you know, you'd see this stuff on TV and, you know, you'd go to these places that were allegedly haunted. Of course, I'd look for them and want to see them. And I do believe that there's spirits, but I don't know how they manifest themselves. And just because people tell ghost stories and have ghost shows doesn't mean that that's the way the soul exists, so to speak. It's almost like the ghost, you want to see them, they're wise to you, and they're not going to, you don't get to see them. And then if you don't want to see them, they'll show themselves to you for sport. But, you know, so I'd never seen one, always wanted to see one. I'll tell you, there was this time, though, at my mother-in-law's house, and my brother-in-law had a similar experience. Okay, so my mother-in-law and all our, my wife and her sisters, they were all gone, and he heard a voice down there, and then and it was in the same part of the house. Okay, then at that same part of the house, I walked in and saw, it would almost be like kind of a floating sort of a cross between like an amoeba and a bubble floating through the air. It's like you could barely see it, and it was almost like something was out of focus, just a little circle in the air out of focus.
Mike, it sounds like you have seen a ghost. Like, it sounds like that the ghost just doesn't look like we're accustomed to seeing what ghost looks like. Clearly, this ghost looks like a bubble amoeba.
And I think I may have, okay? And so then everybody comes back, and my mother-in-law, it turns out that it was always by furniture that had belonged to her mother-in-law that they'd kept and brought from Missouri and put there. So the thought is that perhaps has something to do with her mother-in-law. But, I mean, I've definitely seen the orb, you know, the sort of the floating orb thing.
Well, this really took a turn here because you denied any ghost-seeing moments ago, and now we've arrived at a, you know, bubble, amoeba, orb thing.
Well, one time I was in a room that was supposed to be haunted. It was at the Hotel Roosevelt, and I'd gotten there late in L.A., and I was out recruiting, and I'd wanted to stay at the Roosevelt because they'd just recently opened it. The Roosevelt Hotel is this grand hotel in Hollywood where they've had Academy Awards, Marilyn Monroe dived off the diving board, et cetera. So for decades, it was boarded up. I mean, flat out boarded up, the Roosevelt Hotel. How about that? And so then when I was at Kentucky, they'd recently opened the Roosevelt. And so I booked it ahead. You know, it wasn't that expensive. And I was going to be in L.A. recruiting, and I wanted to make sure I stayed at the Roosevelt. So I get there, and they say, yeah, we don't have any more rooms. All our rooms are sold out. I go, they may be sold out for everybody else. They're not sold out for me because I've had a reservation for 2 weeks, you know. The desk lady goes back and talks to the manager, you know, whisper, whisper, talk, talk, talk. No, we don't have any rooms. I go, hey, I've had this reservation, and plus it's 10:30 at night. I can't find another room in L.A. I have to go recruiting in the morning. I go, I'm going to sleep in one of your ballrooms or whatever. Or if you have couches, I kind of wash my face and whatnot in the bathroom, but I'm sleeping here somewhere. And eventually they say, well, we do have a room. I go, what, is it just worse than the room I was supposed to have? They said, no. They said, but we've had some bad experiences with this room. Long story short, allegedly the room's haunted. And, and people have had bad experiences and walked out of there. And I said, well, I said, look, I go, I'll stay in the room. I mean, if it's some haunted thing, either I'll stick it out in there, or else if I leave, no harm, no foul. And I figured, you know, even if I saw some, it'd be worth it, you know. And then they reluctantly allowed me to go stay in the room. And it was a really cool room, too. It's an upper room right across from Man's Chinese Theater. And then you can look down the other end of the room all the way down Hollywood Boulevard. You know, it's like just this grand old room. So where it's like one where you walk in, there's like a sitting room and a old fireplace, you know, in L.A. Yeah, it actually had a fireplace in the room, which I'm sure hasn't worked for years, if ever. Like a bookshelf with these old books on it. And then you had, of course, your bedroom, old school bed. And then the bathroom had kind of that chicken wire design on the floor, you know. And the trouble is, I didn't sleep very good in that room. I never saw a ghost. I laid in that room, you know, hope to see something. Well, maybe I'll see something. Hope to see something. Check to see something out. Then I'd pretend to be asleep so the ghost would think I was asleep, and then I'd pop my eyes open and try to catch him trying to slip by, you know. Never did see a ghost. Got screwed on seeing a ghost in like this room supposed to be so haunted.
What does a wild night in Key West look like for Mike Leach?
You know, really, what I like about Key West is Key West is a great place if you don't have any plans and you just go out and let it unfold. In Key West, I walk everywhere. I ride my bike. I've never had a car in Key West. And even when I lived in Key West for 2 years, we never had a car, strictly bikes. So you go walk around or ride your bike, and you just let it unfold. Like, I don't watch a lot of TV in Key West, but you just go downtown, you know, just take a walk, and you'll see something you haven't seen before.
But I want to get into the booze. I want to get into sitting on a stool with Mike Leach. I would think that that would be a lot of fun to sit next to Mike Leach on one of those stools day drinking with Jimmy Johnson.
It's not as much drinking as it is just if you're sitting on the stool, you just sort of mingle and people walk by, or I go to Captain Tony's a lot. And just the variety of people that come and go that you get to see, that you get to meet, that you get to hear about, or, you know, they've done this, or it's just amazing. Like, here's just a cross section on just a routine night. Okay. Somebody that's been out shrimping for a month and hadn't been in for a month, just out on a shrimp boat when we lived there. So we'd go to my kid's baseball game, and sitting in the crowd, you might have a military fighter pilot. You might have, you know, somebody that's just moved over from Czechoslovakia. You might have somebody who's moved in from Haiti just for a couple years. This guy's dad's a shrimp boat operator. This one's a fishing guide. You know, this one's mom is a stripper. This one's dad is probably a drug dealer, but you don't talk about it very much. I mean, it's just so diverse. I mean, in what you run across, and people from all different countries too, the Eastern Bloc countries, particularly the Eastern Bloc countries and various spots of the Caribbean. And you'll get into these conversations. Like, just walk around, maybe all of a sudden, all right, here's a Navy SEAL. And you end up getting a conversation with a Navy SEAL. They don't really talk about, you know, their missions or anything, but they'll talk all about what they do training wise and things like that. And in general, some of what they've seen, you know.
There is not a city, Mike, there is not a city in the United States that I think you fit in more with than Key West. If there is, name it. Like, just a city where your personality is most likely to get engaged in all the ways that you enjoy your stimulation. Is there a place better than Key West that fits Mike Leach?
I've kept trying to find one. Hawaii's prettier, but it's an early morning place. And then, again, not quite the variety. Charleston, South Carolina is an outstanding place. Atlanta's kind of cool. Well, the best thing are cities where you can walk around in and kind of experience stuff, you know, where if it's just in a car, it's very difficult. Looking out the window is far different than walking.
Will Mike Leach ever make a purchase on eBay?
Maybe. You know, when it comes to computer purchasing and buying, my wife's kind of in charge of that.
What is the most fascinating animal in the animal kingdom, according to Mike Leach?
Well, I think chimpanzees are clearly a fascinating animal. Okay, I'm interested in animals. I've got several. I would say chimpanzees because they're so incredibly intelligent, and I haven't ever had any close contact or opportunity to really observe them up close, but what they're so able to do mentally. I had a raccoon when I was a kid, so I like raccoons a lot. I've always liked raccoons because they're very versatile and just kind of get by. And we study grizzlies here, so that's pretty interesting. We got this area where they've got the grizzlies pinned up where they study them because they're grizzlies, and also they'll study even more technical things, like, for example, a grizzly heart rate drops when he hibernates, so how can that help our patient type of stuff. The other's a wolverine. Growing up in the mountains in Wyoming and whatnot, I've actually seen a wolverine in the wild about 3 times. And my dad was a forester, so that clearly helped. And so, you know, nobody messes with a wolverine. A wolverine is all claws and teeth, and then this baggy coat that if you happen to bite the wolverine, he'll turn right around in his skin and bite you right back. You know, I mean, wolverines will even take kills from bears and stuff. And you don't see them much. They're awfully hard to see, and they're really not very big, and they just kind of lurk around there. And I don't even know where a wolverine finds female wolverines. There's so few of them, and vice versa. But I mean, they just, wherever they go, they just scavenge and take whatever they want, you know.
What kind of pet is a raccoon? Who has a raccoon as a pet?
Well, somebody had found, you know, I mean, how it happens, I mean, the story's almost always the same. People that have had raccoons, it's almost always the same. You know, somewhere in the wild or farm or hunting or something, there's a baby raccoon or abandoned baby raccoons. And, you know, they get them and they take care of them. And raccoons are outstanding pets. Like when you first get them, you have to feed them with a bottle, kind of like a baby, you know. So they get along good with dogs and cats. I mean, out in our, and we lived out of town. We were on about 10 acres. And then, you know, the dog, the cat, and the raccoon would all be playing in the yard. What happens is then they hit that, I guess, late teenage age in raccoon world. They get that, as they start to get older, they get independent. And then they, you know, want to do everything their way, and they kind of start snapping at you. Then it's just time. And it's kind of like they know it and you know it too, you know. It's just time, and then you take them down by the river and let them go. And keep in mind, prior to that, it's not like we pinned the raccoon in or anything like that. I mean, the raccoon just kind of ran around the place. And we had to pin it for at night so we could put him in there and somebody wouldn't harass him or, you know, something wouldn't get him. But my sense was he knew it was time to go and I knew it was time to go. They love shiny things. As cumbersome as a raccoon is, and they have hands like people, their hands and feet, I mean, look eerily similar to people. He would figure out a way to climb to the top kitchen cupboards, and all of a sudden you'd hear crash, and he'd shove the pots and pans out on the floor because, I mean, they're just mesmerized by shiny things.
Because he's also a bit of an asshole, right?
Yeah, there is that. I mean, because he would sit there and play with those pots and pans, just have a big time, clank them around, lift up the lids, you know, peek into stuff. Look, I mean, that's like giving a little kid a paper bag.
What do you make of the things that have changed socially since you've been a coach in terms of just social media and everyone living their life on the internet and just connecting with today's millennial kid when today's millennial kid wants to take a bunch of selfies and you don't really understand it?
You know, it's pretty wild how much that's accelerated because I got into coaching just when 16mm film was going out. The first year or two of coaching, I mean, I was cutting up a film with a splicer and hanging the pieces of the film on the wall and essentially taping them together so you could put them on a projector and actually have an old projector sitting in my office because it looks pretty cool. So it really has changed, not just a little, it's changed a ton. And people ask me all the time how much players have changed and how different they are. I really don't think they've changed that much. at least the right kind of player hasn't changed that much. Because the right kind of guy, if he really, really wants to play and is really motivated to play, he'll make almost any sacrifice there is to be a good player. I mean, just crazy sacrifices. Get up early, stay up late, exercise to the point that at one point would have been beyond the imagination and now is doing it every day. Some strict eating schedule, you know, and now with the phones and stuff, you have the technology and the know-how, and sometimes they have nutritionists and personal coaches and things like that. But, I mean, a guy that's really motivated will apply it full steam. So, I mean, you know, the most important thing is to find players that are really motivated. And from that standpoint, I don't think they've changed. Now, the information, the rate information flies in and out, and that's changed. The information cycle is 24 hours or less. You know, like, so when I was a kid, if somebody got their picture in the newspaper, I mean, some guy would, you know, brag all month and even carry it around in his pocket and show his friends. Nowadays, on the phone and just changing constantly. But the thing is, whether you obsess with a little bit of information for a long time or obsess with a constant barrage of information all the time, I mean, you know, you kind of end up in the same place a little bit. I don't like that people's noses are in the phone all the time. And mine is, too. I'm guilty of it, too, because, you know, society and my job and whatnot forces me into it. And sometimes I end up looking something up or messing with it and then think, what am I doing? I'm just wasting time. And what I think's unfortunate about it is people don't talk and not as much interpersonal time. I mean, used to be like when I was in college and stuff, you know, I'd meet all kinds of people. You might just meet somebody on campus and might talk for a couple hours, just get to know somebody. Or there'd even be people that, like, if they had some problem or a question, they'd, you know, just call and ask me, or we'd hang out.
We've killed the conversation, Mike. We've killed the conversation. In 15 years, nobody will be able to talk to each other. It'll just be texting each other.
Yeah, and even in the same room, people text each other. You notice people don't date each other much anymore.
I haven't noticed that. Why would I have noticed that?
Well, I don't know. You just go around and, like, even my players and you know, got a girlfriend, you know. I mean, they don't even have girlfriends or anything. I mean, it's like yeah, no, they just sit and piddle with their phone, you know.
Bunch of piddlers.
Yeah, a lot of piddling, no question. I mean, a ton of piddling. It's like, yeah, here's this. Okay, oh, really? It's got a butt. Well, what if I push it? You know, I mean, and it goes on for hours. It's just crazy.
There's no time. So you're saying that no longer is it a concern for the football coach that his players are going to get in trouble with the opposite sex because they're too busy piddling with their phones.
Well, I'm not saying it won't happen. And the thing is you'd like them to have some sort of socially fulfilling lives. But I guarantee you, there's some of them that some young lady, you know, calls, or they think about hanging out with some young lady, or vice versa, and they're thinking, well, yeah, but I got my phone, and I was going to push these buttons on my phone, and you know, and there's this game, you know, I get on this thing and play games with my friends. So, yeah. And then pretty soon they're telling her they have homework or something.
It sounds like you're sad that romance has died.
Well, I don't know that it's died, but I don't think it's in a good place.
You're the best. I enjoyed talking to you. I always enjoy talking to you. Thank you for making the time.
Well, thanks so much for having me on. Great to talk to you again.
I feel like we can all agree now that Mike Leach has indeed seen a ghost, and I hope that that makes some national air somewhere, because I think that Mike Leach pretty much revealed that he tricked the ghost and was able to see the ghost. He was working very hard to close his eyes and open his eyes, and I'm pretty sure that he just saw a ghost-like entity. I think that's what just happened.
That's such a money question. There was a time where we would ask that question of every guest on there, because you never – sometimes, yes, they'll say, no, I've never seen a ghost, and you wasted, what, 3 seconds? But sometimes you get a celebrity that has seen a ghost and can't wait to tell you about it.
But it never makes news.
That's true. I am going on my honeymoon here, so we've got a bye week next week. But after that, we will have Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Stugatz has just been sitting here the whole time quietly putting in a bunch of degenerate bets here and not listening to anything that was happening. Why don't you tell the people what's going on with Stupidity this week?
With Stupidity, I'm going to try to make Bob Stoops interesting. I can't believe that I have agreed to interview Bob Stoops against my better judgment, but you don't like interviewing coaches. I think I can make coaches interesting, and you're going to find out because I'm going to try it with Bob Stoops, who is now a former coach. We're getting back in the game in the XFL.
With the XFL. Yes. You should ask him if he's going to sign Antonio Brown.
I did.